evening. Hey, man. I tell you, I've looked forward to being here all day. And praise God, I'm just grateful for the Lord's many blessings that He's bestowed upon us. And thank God for the good singing that we heard. And I said this one night. I can't remember what night it was. But, you know, as I pulled in, I think it's back in July, and we was just come down here just to be in service with you all, and it got plumb sideways that night, and come back in August, praise the Lord. And, you know, you can tell a whole lot about a church by the outside of the church and the grounds and how everything is just kept up, and just, it means a lot. It says a lot that somebody cares about the house of God.
That's true.
Yep. Amen. And don't die on me. I mean, I'm just talking right here. I'm trying to find my way. Turn with me. Go ahead and turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 2. But as we looked at that, and just beautiful grounds, and Lord's blessed you all. And you know, I'm not going to preach about this, but it's a statement of a church when you look at the outside.
Sure.
What it looks like. And I praise God for that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a statement if the church's real clean and picked up and mowed and just everything looking right. Somebody cares about this place.
Yep.
And that tells a lot about the inside.
Oh, yeah.
I ain't going to preach about this, but if you want to bring dirt in God's house, you'll watch how quick He'll sweep it out. And anyways, the good warm welcome that's been here every night and every time I've ever come, and I appreciate the Spirit of God, the good singing. I mean, I'll be honest with you, you could probably miss a key and I wouldn't know it. I'm not musically inclined. I believe I'm spiritually, as far as singing, I believe I'm deaf and cannot hear tune and any of that, probably tone deaf. I guess that's what they call that. But boy, I can tell when folks get a hold of God and when they know who they're singing about. Somebody that's real musically talented, they might pick up every time you miss a note. I'll never know it. Amen. But when you get in tune with the Holy Ghost, hey, I'm telling you, I don't know where those two little girls are at tonight. Hey, that right there made me want to charge hell with a 5-gallon bucket of water. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God to be in the house of the Lord.
Go ahead, preacher.
I need your prayers tonight.
Oh, yes.
And very familiar passage of Scripture, and what a blessing the book of Ephesians is. And so many blessings. I mean, I believe the phrase "in Christ" is in there 10 times. And so many blessings that I have in Christ: a gracious freedom, great faith, great fellowship, and a glorious future. Hallelujah. Because of in Christ.
Hey.
Anyways, I'm going to read this in chapter number two. I want you to keep your Bible open. We're going to refer to these scriptures here in just a moment. But I'm just going to read two verses. And most of you can probably quote them by heart. Verse number 8. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Verse number 9, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." I like verse number 10. I'll read it. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ." There's that "in Christ Jesus" right there. "Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, God, as we come before you this evening, oh God, I thank you for this place. God, I thank you, Lord, for this church here this evening. I thank you, Lord, for this pastor. Father, I pray, God, that you would just help us, Lord, this evening. And God, to get our clay out of the way. Father, I pray, God, that you'd help us to get in tune with the Holy Ghost of God tonight. God, I thank you, Lord, for that beautiful spiritual singing. Thank you, Lord, for them precious young girls, God. God, that got up and sung about how much you love us. Thank you, God, for the love wherewith you, that great love wherewith you loved us, that everlasting love. Oh, God, I'm so undeserving of that love. Thank you, Lord, for loving me whenever I was unlovable. Oh, God, I need you this evening. Father, I pray, God, that you'd open up the scriptures unto us. Father, I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, find our way this evening. Oh, God, help us, Lord. God, just to preach exactly what you'd have us to say. Help it to fall on good ground this evening. God, and we know that you will give the increase. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this precious scripture, Lord, that you placed on our heart. Help us, Lord, to find our way this evening and get exactly right where you would have us to be. In the lovely name of Jesus, we beg and ask, amen and amen. What a beautiful, beautiful picture of the Word of God here. And I tell you, I just be honest with you, I'm not the greatest person concerning knowing all about the Bible and as far as certain topics and things like that. But I tell you, I know a lot about the grace of God. Amen. Amen. If anybody ever wants to send me an email, my email is gracerecipient, amen, at hotmail.com, because I am a grace recipient. Amen. But as we look at this, I want to preach about the difference that grace made. If the Lord be our helper this evening, and we look at these scriptures here, and we are so thankful. I'm not a big car enthusiast. I'm not a super big into cars, but every now and again, I'll get on and I'll watch those restoration channels where they'll take these old cars and they'll begin to put them back together. Now, I mean, they're just straight up junk, amen. I mean, just twisted up and mangled up, and I mean, just straight up trash pretty much, but they see some value in it, and they'll take their talent and they'll begin to start putting it back together, and then they'll begin to auction them off, and they're worth more than they was when they come off the factory showroom. Oh, what a picture here that we have in the blessed Word of God. How God took our mess of our life and began to put us back together. Amen. Listen, I mean, I was straight up trash and garbage. Oh, but God saw something. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ loved us enough. He saw something of value in us. Amen. That he would love us. I mean, what a beautiful picture we have in the blessed Word of God. And then we get that beautiful verse over there where the Bible said, therefore, if any man, listen, be in Christ. Amen. There's that phrase. Be in Christ. All things are passed away. All things are become new. Amen. Praise God. I love new things, don't you? Amen. Listen to me. I ain't got no new stuff that you ain't never heard before. Hey, we don't need new stuff. Amen. We just need power to preach the old. What a difference that grace makes. Amen. As we look in this blessed passage of Scripture, we think about over there in the book of Jeremiah, where God the potter had the clay on the wheel. Hey, listen to me. I'm glad. I'm so glad he didn't throw the clay away. Hey, listen to me. I'm so thankful that he's still molding me and making me what I ought to be. Hey, we look at this blessed passage of Scripture, and do you realize, amen, listen, before I can ever preach about the difference that grace makes, amen, I would not do you any good unless I told you what I was before. Amen. I believe if my memory stands to be right, I believe it was song number 43 this evening, where Jesus, before Jesus stepped in, I about come unglued. I said, hey, man, and listen, grace and before grace. I need to tell you what I was. Amen. And in the Bible right here in verse number 1, the Bible said, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Amen. Listen to me. Hey, listen. Hear me this evening. Before Jesus stepped in, before grace ever made a difference, I need to tell you what I was. Amen. I was dead. Amen. I was dead. Do you realize the Bible refers to lost people in many different ways. Amen. They were kept in captivity. Listen, they were in bondage. They were ungodly. They were separated. Amen. Refers to them many ways. Oh, but right here in our scripture, he tells us that we were just plain out dead. Hey, listen. Oh, listen to me this evening. Dead before grace. Oh, I'm glad. I'm so glad. Amen. Listen, you have to know before you can see the difference of grace and what it makes. You've got to know what you was before. Before grace, I was dead. Before grace, I was dead. Hey, listen, what the Bible tell us over there in the book of Genesis. He told Adam and Eve, he said that if thou shalt take of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. Amen. You know what? Listen, we were dead in sins right here. The Bible said in trespasses, yes, and sins. Amen. We sinned against God. We were absolutely dead. But nowadays in this century, amen, this modern day world that we're living in, nobody's a sinner anymore, amen. Hey, listen, I still believe, amen, listen, that you were dead before Jesus. Amen, listen, amen, though, listen, if there be no change, there be no conversion, amen. Amen, there's a lot of folks, they say they got it, and they don't live any different, amen. Hey, listen to me, there will be a change that takes place. Grace makes a difference. Yes. Amen. Before grace, we were dead. Yes. Yes, sir. The Bible said that great verse, "For the wages of sin is death." Oh, sin, it killed me. Amen. I was dead. Oh, listen, what did the Bible say in the book of James? For every man, hey, listen, I believe it was in the 4th century, there was a theologian by the name of Pelagius, and he did not believe that man had a sin nature. Hey, listen, you don't have to look very hard. Amen. We've got a sin nature. David said we was born in sin. In sin did my mother conceive me. Amen. We were born in sin. And then the Bible says in the book of James chapter 1, every man is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. And the Bible said when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. And then he said in verse number 16, he said, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." And then he said in verse number 17, "Every good gift, every for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God." Amen. Every good gift, every perfect gift that cometh down from above. Woo! He came down so I could go up. Woo! He died so that I could live. He was beat so I could be blessed. He was poor so I could be rich. But before grace, I was dead. Nobody's dead anymore. Bible tells us over there in the book of Romans, "Wherefore as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." Oh, and then he goes on to say at the end of that verse, verse number 12, "For that all have sinned." Pelagius was wrong, amen. We got a sin nature, and you've got to deal with that sin nature tonight. Amen. Listen to me. Oh, you go over there and you read after Adam and Eve took of the fruit a couple of chapters later, and you'll read about men. And the Bible said, and they were such and such years old. It's the first obituary column that you ever read about in the Bible. Amen. They died. And so and so was so many years old, and they died. Hey, listen to me. Brother Delmer was pointing out somebody to me. I don't know where he right there he is. He said he works in a mortuary. And he said, I stay away from him. Hey, listen to me. That's what he told me before church. Had no idea. Hey, man, it's amazing how God's putting things together. Hey, listen to me. We were dead. We were dead. Hey, man, listen to me. Listen to me. A lot of folks, they don't need reviving. Amen. Listen to me. They need resurrection. You can't revive something that's alive or that's been dead, that's dead. Amen. It's got to be resurrected first. Amen. Hey, listen to me. Somebody said this to me last night, and I don't mean to say anything like this, but he said, boy, you skinned me up one side down the other. Amen. Listen, I began to think about it, and I don't say this to be mean, but where I grew up, we skinned dead things. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen to me. Amen. You're dead in trespasses and sins. I want you to look with me in the Bible. Hey, listen to me. I want you to look at that next verse. Wherein in time past, amen, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Yeah. Hey, listen to me. Not only was you dead, we was disobedient. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen to me. How do you know I begin to think about dead people and I was thinking about him? Amen. His brother Delmer mentioned that to me. How do you know if you go down there to the funeral home, he could tell a funny joke, dead people won't laugh. Amen. He can tell something sad, they won't cry. Amen. They can't see, they're blind. Amen. They're dead. Amen. When I was dead, I was blind. Amen, but I'm glad he gave me sight. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen, because of grace. What a difference. Oh, we look here in the Word of God. The children of a disobedience. Amen, listen to me. We were dead and we were disobedient. Amen, I remember my little girl. I can't remember which exactly one. I believe it may have been Paisley. She listened to several years ago. She's a little old bitty girl. And Brittany, she's getting ready to go to church somewhere. Brittany was telling her, she's about 3 or 4 years old. She said, Paisley, I need you to get ready. I need you to get your stuff together. I need you to get it together. And she waited. She wouldn't listen. I need you to get your stuff together. And finally, she got on her pretty good. And when we got in the car, she said, Mommy, she said, I want my iPad. And Brittany began to say, now, honey, listen, there was somebody that's caused us to be late this morning because they didn't listen to what I had to say. Amen. Listen to me. And this is exactly what Paisley replied. Who is it, Mommy? Hey. Amen. You know what we are? We were dead and we were disobedient. And when the Holy Ghost comes to us and begins to reveal things in our heart, amen, listen to me. When it comes to revival, when it comes to revival, listen to me, like the song says, it ain't my mother, it ain't my father, it ain't my brother, it ain't my sister, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. We'll look around the room. That was for that one, and that was for that one. I tell you what you need to do. You need to draw a circle around your feet, and the person in that circle needs to be revived. Because we're disobedient. Who is it? Listen to me. The book of Colossians tells us this. It gets worse. Hey, listen, before grace, it gets real worse.
Oh, yes.
We were dead. We were disobedient. The book of Colossians tells us that in the children of wrath, God worketh in the children of wrath in the disobedience. I think chapter 3, verse 6. Hey, listen to me. Hey, man, I love to preach about heaven. But I would not be rightly dividing the truth if I did not preach to you about hell. I know that I'm going there. But the difference that grace made changed my direction. I was going down, now I'm going up. Oh, listen to me. I noticed the third verse. Not only was we disobedient and dead, but we were doomed. Amen. The Bible said, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Oh, we were doomed. We were doomed to a devil's hell. Hey, we were doomed, absolutely doomed, without God and no hope in this world.
That's right.
Ain't you glad that ain't the end of the story?
Oh,
yes. Ain't you glad, as the Apostle Paul was writing this in prison, ain't you glad that chapter number 2 didn't only have 3 verses? Some of you probably know Randall Burge. I don't know if he's been here before. Oh, but the theme of that young man's life is, but God, what a difference grace makes. Oh, listen to me, the Apostle Paul. Hey, listen to me, some of you, I don't feel like, hey, maybe you've forgotten about your sin nature and how really rotten and low down you were. Turn with me in your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Hey, listen to me. Hey, man, listen, Paul does another time where he tells them about before grace and after grace. He says this, know ye not that the unrighteous, verse 9, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God.
That's a fact.
Yes, sir. What it says.
That's before grace.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
I don't fall into none of those 11 categories, preacher. Read the next verse. Help me. And such were some of you. That was me and that was you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. Woo! Justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Before grace. What a difference grace makes.
Thank God, brother.
But God. Praise God, in my Bible and some of yours, you turn the page. Ain't you glad you turned the page? Amen. Before grace. Amen. It ain't like turning over a new leaf. I told the church that Sunday morning. It's still a leaf on the other side. Hey, do you know what some people are trying to do to lost people? They're trying to rehabilitate them. Amen. Hey, you can't rehabilitate them. Amen. Hey, listen to me. I'm so glad that God put salvation on the bottom shelf so anybody could reach it. You say, preacher, why'd he do that? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he put it to where whosoever, amen, will just call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Before grace, I was dead. I was disobedient. I was doomed. But God. What a difference. 44 times you'll read the phrase, but God, in the King James Bible. After grace, after Jesus steps in. I believe, was that the name of the song, Brother Josh? When Jesus stepped in. But God, who was rich in mercy, wherefore his great love, wherewith he loved us. Oh, what a love that he had.
Preach on. Preach on.
What drew God to me? There was nothing in me. I mean, there was nothing that would draw the God of all glory to me. But he loved me.
Yes, my God, preacher.
You know what I think about? One of the greatest things about heaven's going to be is when we get up there and we realize all the things that God done for us that we never recognized down here. Oh, what a love that he had for you and me. Preacher, why do you love him? What did little John chapter 4, verse 19, we love him. Oh, what a shame. After grace, what a difference grace made. But God, who is rich in mercy, listen to me, my father, my mother, they ain't got a whole lot of money. Amen. Money will not get you in. Working will not get you in. But my heavenly father, he was rich in two things. Amen. That I needed. He was rich in mercy. And he was rich in grace, the Bible said. Hallelujah. He loved me. Amen. Why did he go to Calvary? Because he loved me. Why did he go to Calvary? Because he loved you. Before grace, we were dead, disobedient, and doomed. But now, hey, but God, who is rich in mercy, now we receive the benefit of salvation. The most expensive gift that didn't cost you and I a dime. What'd you get last year for Christmas? Most of us don't even remember. What are you asking God for this year? Oh, listen. Listen, what are you asking your parents? 28 years ago, I got a gift.
Yes.
As a 10-year-old boy. I've never got home. Woo! After grace, I'm the benefit of salvation. I didn't have no money in my pocket. I'm a 10-year-old. I couldn't have bought it. I couldn't have worked for it. Oh, but he paid it all. Oh, when he hung at Calvary and John, when he said that famous saying on the cross, "Tetelestai," it is finished. He paid it all. He paid my sin debt. I say, if listen to me, hey, I couldn't have paid my own sin because I had sin. But for somebody to pay sin, they could not have no sin. Amen. And there was no sin in him. Amen. Listen, the Bible said in Hebrews, whenever he went to offer that blood, the priests, they would always take blood for themselves. He did not take blood for himself. There was no sin in him. After grace. Oh, I'm reminded of a man. 1977. His name was David Berkowitz. Most of you, I don't know, maybe you never heard of him. He was a murderer. He was a serial killer in New York City. And he killed 6 or 7 people. And he got out of the military. And he started going to devil worshiping. He started worshiping the devil and all that stuff. And he went home one day and his neighbor had a dog named Sam. And it was a black dog. And he said that dog come and told him to go kill a bunch of people. Said the devil was in him. He went and killed a bunch of people. They arrested him, put him in prison. Hey, man, see, but that was before grace. Listen to me. Hey, listen. But he had a Gideon Bible. Amen. And he read this verse out of Psalms 34, verse 6. This poor man cried unto the Lord, and he heard me and saved me out of all my trouble. And listen, you know what David Berkowitz was referred to as? Before grace, the son of Sam. Hey, listen to me, but now, do you know what he's referred to as? He's referred to as the son of hope. You say, well, I don't know if he really got saved. Hey, amen. I don't know if some of you got saved. Listen to me, but now he's referred to as the son of hope. That's after grace. Ain't it amazing what grace can do? How he can take the most vile, wretched sinner. Yeah. What about black as coal. Washing red blood. Out come white as snow. Thank God for salvation tonight.
Amen.
Not only in the next verse, I'm a benefit of sanctification. Sanctification. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Verse number, by grace are you saved. Notice that next part. And hath raised us up together. I believe this right here is sanctification. And made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know what sanctification means? Growing in divine grace. If you have never grown in your spiritual walk with the Lord, there is a problem.
Yep.
Preacher, how do I grow? John 17:17. But sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Listen to me. Every one of us has got some rough edges. I said that last night. I said I was going to get on it a little bit later. We've all got some areas of our life that we need some work on. And just like those men that take those car parts and they fix them and they put them back together, ain't you glad God's still working on us? That's a little kid song, preacher. No, it's not. I'm glad he's still working on me. I'm glad I'm not what I used to be. But I'm not what I'm going to be either.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But praise God, he's a working on me. And he's a knocking off my rough edges to make me a fit. Hey, listen, ain't it amazing? Do you realize that one day God is going to present me sinless and spotless?
That's right.
As wretched as I am. But Jude said that he would present us faultless. Amen. That amazes me. Hey, listen. Oh, I praise God he took my sin so that I could have righteousness.
Yes.
That's right.
You better believe it.
After grace. The benefit of sanctification. He's working on me. He's working on you. Preacher, I'm doing the best I can. No, you're not. Don't lie to us. Don't lie to God. There ain't none of us in here doing the best we can.
That's right.
Preacher, I'm doing all I can. No, we're not. Every one of us need help. Every one of us needs to get a little closer to God. But I'm glad after grace I'm a benefit of security.
Oh, yeah. Better believe it.
You know, Brother Kevin, there's not a lot of things that I'm secure in. My health, my finances, my job. I mean, look at the way that our economy's in. I mean, all the things that's going on in our world. Boy, there's not a lot of things that's secure.
Right.
What the second verse of that song say? Only one thing will matter when the time shall come to die. Amen. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Tonight, whenever I lay my head down on a pillow, there is not one ounce of doubt inside of me. I know I'm secure in Him. Listen to me. He holds me secure. Oh, my little girls, whenever there's a storm coming, oh, my youngest, she can't stand thunder and lightning. And I've taught her that verse out of the book of Psalms. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Him. And she'll crawl up in my lap and I'll hold her and tell her that everything's okay. I'm glad there's been times in my life I've crawled up in the arms of Jesus and He's held me secure. Let me help you right here tonight. There's times I've not held on to Him.
Yes, sir.
But He has always held on to me. Are you secure tonight? Oh, listen to me. Listen to me. You better listen. I ain't trying to make anybody doubt. But I'm telling you, I would rather scare somebody in and let them know that they're saved as them go out thinking they're saved and not really be saved. I tell you what, if I had a doubt tonight, preacher, I'd be on this altar. But I'm glad he said, no man plucketh me out of the Father's hand. I am secure in God and in Jesus.
Right. That's right.
And nothing can touch me that doesn't pass through His hand. Come get us home, brother pastor. You come on. After grace. What a difference grace made. Come on, brother pastor. I love you this evening. Amen. Lord, help us tonight. Oh, help us, Jesus.